So, passions. They can be private, they can be obsessive, and some people's passions can leave everyone else cold.
Hello, Whimper.
Hello, Gil.
Poor Whimper.
But in this programme,
hello, darling.
Niamh Gallagher has met a man whose passion is both private and public.
Hey, where's your puppies? Hello. Hello, you naughty Gil.
And when it comes to other people, raises their passions too.
Poor Whim.
His name is Sean Kilkenny.
Hello, Whimper. Hello, my darling. Hey, hey. Oh, here you go.
Here, ma'am, you're on one of them pups. Come on. Don't be lying on the puppy. Hey.
Where are you?
We watched everything that would be whelping down. If it takes all night to watch them, it takes all night to watch them.
Now, puppies. These little black ones are all quite weak. So we're just giving them some milk. These were all by section, and they never got going on their mam, really, you know. We've been feeding them now for 2 days, 3 days. Every time I pass them, really, every half hour, an hour, if I'm around the kennels here, I ruffle them up and make them, you know, suckle the bitch, which they do, but they don't seem to suckle for very long, which is what the problem is. So I feed them myself every 3 or 4 hours as well, including the night.
Now, they're your puppies. There's no one taking them puppies off you. Nobody. Now
there's your girl.
For something you breed, and you know that you've brought this into the world, you feel, you know, a real need to see it do its best and look after it for what they are.
Talk to the boys.
Hey, boys! Poor lads.
You can see the way it works both ways. I have compassion and real good understanding of these hounds and love them. And you can see when I walk into the kennels that they have it back because they come alive. They just come alive because they know, God, here comes the boss, we're going to do something now. And they get all excited, you know, we're going for a walk or we're going somewhere. God knows where he's going to take us.
Poacher, good boy, poacher, good old dog. Come on, good. There's London. London, hey boy, London, come on. London. See the way he's having a little way, see? London.
We start here in kennels every morning, 6:30.
Magnum.
Except for Sunday, we have Magnum. A lion on Sunday till 7.
This one there is Marshall. Marshall. That's a brother of his, marksman. This dark chap that was there a minute ago. That lad there. Marksman. See him there, the black lad. Marksman.
Good boy.
He's a brother.
The day is never long enough, actually. 7 days of the week, yeah. Patrick. I love it.
Patrick knows his name, don't you, Patrick? Patrick. Good boy. Now I'll feed these lovely ladies. Lovely ladies. You lovely ladies. And gazed upon the setting sun. There's a sad behind the hill. Hi again. Stand back. Wanda. Stand back, girl. Stand back. Wanda. Hills. Buttercup. Come on, Buttercup.
Every one of them have a personality. Every single hound has a personality. And every single hound in the kennel has a different personality. You know, there's some of them rogues and there's some of them crafty. There's some of them, you know, would buy and sell you. There's some of them shy. They're everywhere. Every single hound, they're like people, you know. Every single one, they're like little people to us, so they are.
Lock it. Quiet. Lock it. Magic. Come on. Maggie. Oh, you naughty girls. Come on. Hey, hello. Hello. Hello, you naughties. Come on, get down. Get down now. Go on, stand down. Who's next? Marrow.
It's a job that comes with a lot of hours. It's like farming. You know, farmers don't generally look at the watch and say, God, I wish I was finished, I wish I was going home, roll on 5 o'clock. They enjoy their way of life because we accept it as a way of life and not a job.
Popcorn. Popcorn.
Good girl.
Something always different happening here. Even though some of the work is repetitive every morning, hounds have to be, you know, washed down, beds have to be cleaned and all tidied up and freshened up, and hounds are exercised and fed. They're all repetitive jobs, but they're always different. There's always something different every day. You know, one day the sun is shining, the next day it's raining, next day it's frosty, there's something, the weather's changing, there's always, it's never repetitive. My hobby has become my job over the years, and I really haven't ever developed a hobby outside of this. I don't really do much. All I seem to do is work with hounds from dawn to dark. A lot of the evenings, even when the lads would finish at 5:30 or 6:00, especially in the summertime, I think nothing of going back out and spending another 2 or 3 hours mucking around with the hounds or in the kennels or in the paddock or something, you know.
Don't take that now, go on, put that down. Graceful. Raphael? See this? Maybe for Paul's trailer. Great, yeah, graceful is stealing.
Probably look at my way of life as a sad way of life. That I, you know, failed to go places. The last time I went on holidays was 95. I went to Tenerife. I thought I'd never come home out of it. I nearly went insane out there. Probably because I was gone away from my hounds for so long. I just couldn't cope with it.
Hello, dog. Dorset. Come on now, gently. Hello, ma'am, how are you? Hey, boy, Magnum. Boy, Magnum. Wilton, come on, good lad. Gently now, gently, gently. London. London, know your name.
Hound loves hunting. That's all he loves doing. They like their food and everything else, but they love hunting. A real genuine hound just loves to go hunting. And you can carry a hound anywhere you want. You can take any hound out of this kennel at a day old, or 6 weeks, or 2 months. Take it home and domesticate it, and it'll break her heart, because it'll be gone at 6 months of age with its nose to the ground, off hunting, with or without you, because that's what they do. They're bred to do it the same as a cat is bred to catch a mouse. They've always been bred to do it. And just because some people think that it's cruel, or it's cruel to be catching a fox or whatever, you can't stop nature. Nature is nature, and that's their course. That's what they're bred for, is just to go hunting.
Border. Come on, hello dog, come on. You come behind, come on. Crazy, come behind. Crazy, know your name. Know your name then. Over you get, Playboy, come on, over you get, car behind.
And it's so fascinating to watch a pack of hounds, just stand and watch them. If you never jumped a fence, stand and watch and listen to them. And listen to the cry of them passing through the countryside, working out the puzzle of a fox. They all encourage each other as they speak. They all rally up together and they all want to get on up. Here he is, there's a fox gone. You can hear the first hound speak onto it. The next thing he speaks, and next thing he rallies the whole lot listening. I say, oh, we're on. And they all get on up together, run in together and run up as a pack, and they all speak away to that fox. And one, they all work as a team. It's teamwork. A pack of hounds hunting together, it should be teamwork, total teamwork. When a pack of hounds are running properly, as a team, you should be able to cover them with a blanket. Literally with a blanket. They should all just be close together, knit together, working as a team to push on and have a hunt. And that is beautiful.
Here, come on. This way. Come on. Come behind. Come on. Here, get over. Go on over. Water. Where did you see a fox? The railway line.
Now, whether they catch him or whether they lose him or put him into ground, that's immaterial after that. The job is to watch them working and watch them hunting, and that's where the fun is. That's where it is for me, to listen to the crying of hounds. Every time the press want to show something about fox hunting, they'll show some lad in a red coat. They might show him with a top hat or something, you know, or someone speaking a bit, you know, prim and proper. And they'll show a pack of hounds maybe breaking up a fox. And they never ever show any of the behind the scenes or look back into the way of life that fox hunting is. We do kill foxes. So the motorists, there's more foxes killed on the roads than there are with hounds. Far more. And nobody does anything about picking them up off the roads. Fox hunting is something that has happened for hundreds and hundreds of years. These hounds here have been bred. We can trace back their breeding at the moment back to 1780, 1781. Kennelman to the Duke of Beaufort's hunt, which would be one of the most prestigious hunts in England. I was there for the ban. I lived through the ban over there. It was sad to see something with so much tradition and history being, or tried to be, destroyed because of what a few people believe was right to ban it. It's nothing got to do with hunting. It's a class issue over there. They look at the people that hunt as toffs and gentry, and it's nothing really got to do with that at all.
Sir, good morning. Doctor, good morning. Sir Donald, how are you? What have we got? Morning, madam. Morning, sir. How are you? Lovely day, yeah.
They're really sad people. They've no idea of country life or the way it works.
Oh, a lovely day for a picture.
Most of them don't want to eat meat. They barely eat fruit unless it falls off a tree. They're, you know, half of them are vegans. And I've seen them. I've seen them all out at different meats and stuff. And they are no good for society, these people.
Well, you want to sit tight? Come on, you're tough as nails.
Healthy foxes never get killed, or rarely get killed. We'd cull out old ones, ones with mange, ones that might have been shot, that would be suffering with gangrene poisoning or lead poisoning or something. At the end of the day, foxes are vermin, and they will kill everything. They will kill all ground nesting birds, they kill everything. So you've got to try and keep on top of every species. There's nothing at the top of the fox's food chain, except for a pack of hounds.
Bye, bye. Bye, bye.
Huntsman Sean Kilkenny talking to Niamh Gallagher.
Probably when you work out in the countryside every day, we get to treasure more things than anyone will ever do, because you take time in your day to look at nature. You look at a crow building its nest, or a blackbird, or you look at a robin fetching food or carrying worms over and back, and we look at simple things and take from them what most people are so busy rushing. It's a rat race most days for people. They're rushing to work, they're rushing home, they're rushing with kids here, they're rushing there. They never take time to actually look at what's happening around them. They never take time to look into the sky, look at the clouds passing by. And most clouds usually pass in two lots of layers. The real high ones never move, and it's the low ones that keep moving. And that's kind of like the people. I'm probably the second lot of clouds. I don't move that fast. I just stay up there and keep still. Whereas everyone else is just zooming over and back and getting nowhere. And next thing, life has passed them by and they wonder, why has it all gone wrong? So I think I have a lovely, treasured way of life.
You remember me when the west wind moves. Oh, I'm on the fields of Bali. You can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold.
Puppies, Patrick, come on.
When we walked,
Page boy, come on. Boys, Page boy, come on. Queen. Go in when you're told.
You've been listening to The Curious Ear. I'm Ronan Kelly.
The lads.
Boys. What are we lads?